And now back to
The Rich Eisen Show.
Now.
The hiring has begun in the NFL.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The New York Jets fired the first shot today to hire as an offensive coordinator the man who will come to New York, Nathaniel Hackett. And you could already hear the howls. I kind of like the hire.
Earlier on the show, NFL on Fox analyst Greg Olson. Coming up, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Plus, latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Greg Olson of Fox is calling the NFC Championship game in the Super Bowl. We had a great chat with him in hour number one. We're set for Super Bowl weekend in a couple of weeks from now. We're going to take the show to Arizona for 3 days.
Yeah,
Super Bowl week. We're excited. Love our partnership with the Roku channel and Roku. We're live on the Roku channel right now. If you're seeing us later on in the day, that means you're watching a re-air of the show on channel 210. The Roku channel is free. All Roku devices. You can get the Roku channel on it for free. Select Samsung Smart TVs, Amazon Fire TV. The Roku channel is free. The Roku app has the Roku channel on it. Guess what? It's free there.
Free.
Same thing on therokuchannel.com. We say hello to our terrestrial radio audience. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com or just stop by. We're on Sirius XM Odyssey. We say hello to our podcast listeners who choose to listen to us whenever they darn well please. It's your right. Please just give us a subscribe. Add yourself to our RSS feed, as they call it in the business. Same thing with our YouTube page, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Brockman, Del Tufo in their spots. Del Tufo's weather report later on. Everybody's looking forward to that.
It's raining sideways.
Two more outdoor games.
Outdoor games, Mike. Get hyped.
TJ Jefferson, good to see you over there, sir. Good to see you. Oh, careful.
TJ. I would like you to turn your mic on.
Mike, you got to turn your microphone on.
I've just started carrying a pocket watch, Rich. So I just want to let you guys know that.
My goodness.
It's my new thing now. I just want to share it with everybody.
You're going to wear a top hat and, you know, tell me I can't pass go?
Hey, you just never know. I might have to start walking with a cane.
Can't pass
go. Seriously. Like, Mr. You got Mrs. Is he dressed as a peanut?
Mr. Peanut?
Mr. Peanut.
I'm going to start watching Peaky Blinders, man. I'm going to set it up.
You should. Great show.
Next thing, you come in with a monocle.
All right, I'm Googling.
Don't think I won't.
Most famous people with
pocket watches. Very good.
Brilliant!
Einstein.
That one came out of nowhere. Okay. So, Tom Pelissero is going to join us shortly. Can't wait to ask him about all these coaches' openings. There was some coaching news yesterday, as we all know. Frank Reich hired by the Carolina Panthers. He was the first ever quarterback for the Carolina Panthers, don't you know?
Oh, I forgot.
Yes.
Sherlock Holmes had a pocket watch.
Okay, very good. Yeah. One story that, you know, one piece of coaching news that happened yesterday set off my spidey sense where something just doesn't add up. Look, when you interview as a head coach in this league, it is a process. Okay, it's a problem. And if you interview multiple times, I can't imagine. Like, you're going through the same thing. You're saying the same lines, you know, over and over again. And if you're interviewing with the Denver Broncos for the second straight year, you're kind of glad that there's a new ownership group because they haven't heard your stuff yet. You know, I always think when coaches use their lines, you know, like the end of Officer and a Gentleman, when Louis Gossett Jr. is using the same lines, with just different recruits, right?
Yep.
It's a process. You got PowerPoints, you got Zooms. And if you're a coach who's interviewing for head coaching jobs when you are still coaching for a team that's in the playoffs, I mean, you got to find a window. You can't just say, oh, yeah, I'm available when you need me. No. You got to tell them I'm available here. So clearly you're interested in the job if you're taking the time out of preparing for a playoff game as a coordinator to be a head coach. And if you've done it 2 years in a row, you clearly want to be a head coach in this league. Certainly if you've previously been a head coach in this league, taking a team to a Super Bowl, You've got that taste in your mouth. Certainly if you've lost it, that's all I keep hearing about my coach at Michigan. Oh, my gosh. He's got that resume that he needs to have, you know, filled with a Super Bowl ring because he didn't get one when he was with the Niners and Jim Harbaugh. That's why he just can't focus on being a Michigan coach with that Super Bowl still out there. So what about Dan Quinn? Does he not want one? Is an HC? The situation's not right again for him in Denver? Situation's not right for him wherever he interviewed? For him to go back to Dallas, as he announced yesterday, because there's unfinished business as a defensive coordinator for the Cowboys. Now, last year, I was like, okay, so he just wasn't into these other opportunities and he pulled back. And if you recall, we had Mike McCarthy on this program after Quinn stayed. Mm-hmm. Then after everything played out with that, and after a story appeared on DallasCowboys.com with a quote from Jerry Jones saying, coordinators like to stay with us because they all know in the history of me owning this team, they've got a shot at the real job, at the HC. And everyone's like, huh, so does that mean Mike McCarthy's on the hot seat? No, that does not mean that at all. And McCarthy even came on here and said he had to have a conversation with Jerry Jones about that and with Dan Quinn saying, come back. I'm cool with it. With the speculation being that you're sticking around for my job, since Jerry Jones pointed out that is a blueprint that is in the mind's eye of the assistants who stay. I mean, these are all facts uttered by the owner and placed on the internet by the team's own website. So for the second straight year, Dan Quinn sticking around?
Why not?
Come on. So he wants to see it through with Tank Lawrence? Rick, come on, man.
Being a head coach, there's so much more responsibility.
Dude, he interviewed for the second straight year. He went through the circuit for the second straight year. And he took time out for the second straight, for this time around, out of preparing for the 49ers he's interviewing because he was just dipping his toe in the pool again. My Spidey sense is going crazy about this one.
Why?
Why? Because something is up in Dallas. You know it, and I know it.
He's got a great gig. Maybe he's happy where he's at. He's enjoying what he's doing.
Come on, man. He said he doesn't want to be a head coach in the NFL again. For two straight years, he's now checked it all out.
So what do you think he's being blackmailed? Like Jerry's got pictures or something?
No, because he gets a sense he could be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. That's why. And okay. I don't know if he's gotten that sense from, I don't know what. I don't have an answer for that. But I'm just telling you what everybody's thinking. My texts are blowing up. Why is he staying for a second straight year? To be a defensive coordinator when he used to be an HC, took a team to the Super Bowl, was up 28-3 in it. This is a damn good coach who, by the way, you should celebrate. You should be a Cowboy fan
absolutely.
Saying, why shouldn't he stay? I'm not saying you shouldn't celebrate. You got
and by no stretch of me, I don't think any Cowboy fan is going, why is he staying? Like, we're all happy he's staying.
Of course not. You don't. Why would you sit there and think, why is he staying?
I didn't want the guy to go.
The 31 other teams are going, huh, I think I know why he's staying. And certainly those who offered him the opportunity to interview for their head coaching job. And then before it all is up, he's like, yeah, I'm staying put. I mean, there's still jobs open. Now, he can get the sense he's not in the running for those gigs, and he's pulling back before he doesn't get them, and he's beating everyone to the punch, so he still has that feel about him as being wanted elsewhere. That could be it, too. But, man, I just laid out for you how it all was set up last year. And McCarthy did do a good job this year, losing a tackle on the line, losing his quarterback for 5 games. He did a really good job. But why is Dan Quinn sticking around there? I my spidey sense is going off. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, Peter Parker.
It's just going off like haywire. It's going crazy. Tim in Phoenix, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Tim? You there, Tim?
Hey, Rich. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
A quick comment and a question.
What's going on?
My comment is that Purdy has the it factor.
Yes.
He's actually one of the best high school quarterbacks I've ever seen play. Unfortunately, Jeff George was probably the best high school quarterback I've ever seen play, but he never had the it factor. And my question is concerning the Colts. Is Jim Irsay actually turning into Robert Irsay?
That's a question that a lot of people are having in Indianapolis, for sure. I mean, Frank Reich getting hired in Carolina, you know, I thought Steve Wilks did a terrific job. But if they wanted to go in a direction of a guy that's coached in a Super Bowl with a quarterback that got better because of him, and you feel that he can come in and he's got a history there, being the first quarterback there, and you want to, you know, convince yourself he's the better choice over Steve Wilks or anyone else, I can understand that. I still don't understand firing him impetuously in the middle of the season and going and getting somebody who he said he was thankful was available, when basically the only reason where he would be unavailable is if he was out of range with his cell service, like Einstein. You know, I don't understand it. I don't understand what happened this season. I think a lot of it is self-inflicted, and they have a chance to get it right with their next hire here. And it could be Saturday. And thanks for the call. I mean, his teams didn't give up. I'll tell you that. His teams were plucky enough to have leads that they couldn't hold on to. But, and he's a terrific leader, and he's very positive, and, well, you know, I just don't know. Could you imagine they go through a 2-3-week-long process and interview a whole bunch of people and come back and say it's the we're just taking the interim tag off Jeff Saturday?
Not going to go over well.
I think it's entirely possible, by the way. Tom Pelissero on all these fronts. Jeff in Detroit, how you doing, Jeffrey? What's up, Jeff?
Uncle Rich, fellas. Here, let me this thing. Listen, that you just brought up an interesting point. I wonder the same thing. Like, how can they go back to Jeff after this year? But stranger things have happened, you know. I mean, here in Detroit, we fired a winning coach. TJ, I hate to say this, and this is just me personally. As long as Big Fella is running the Dallas Cowboys, nothing is going to happen as long as the boss man is there. I mean, you figure like this. Jimmy Johnson can't get in the Ring of Honor, and he's the only person that gave this man hardware. So you don't put him in the Ring of Honor. It's kind of like, let's say, having a top five or a top 10 defense in the NFL and getting rid of the defensive coordinator. And I guess my question from this point on is, what happens with the Buffalo Bills? Because we don't look at them kind of like we look at Dallas or anybody else. For the last couple of years, the only thing that I've always heard was Josh Allen is going to be an MVP. It looks like the Buffalo Bills might as well start printing up Super Bowl tickets. And for all of that, they have about as many Super Bowls as the Detroit Lions. And what's Uncle Rich's Nostrad? I know you're clairvoyant at some time. What's that Monday headline that nobody is seeing? Something that just might peek out. I know you come up with interesting tidbits. You guys have a great weekend. Been loving the show this week, man. I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay. Monday headline coming out of championship weekend. Is that what he meant?
Yeah. Headline on Monday that we're maybe not seeing right now.
Headline on Monday we're not seeing right now. I don't know. Chad Henne wins the AFC Championship game.
Shocking.
What's another one?
Dan Quinn picture surface in Dallas.
Dude, I don't know why you've got your head in the sand on this one.
It's not in the sand.
It is in the sand. I mean, honestly, I mean, you as a Cowboy fan don't have to think about this, and you shouldn't. You're excited. You got the defensive coordinator, maybe one of the best and most, you know, experienced hand at that. Players love him. He loves them. Fact that he's saying, I've got unfinished business, Micah Parsons will run through a wall for him, which
so
is what you
want.
So why
would I sit there and then break out a magnifying glass and try to look for a reason?
Because that's my job. I'm not saying you should.
Yeah,
but the calls are coming from within the house for Mike McCarthy. Fact.
even though Jerry just more or less said that he'd like to have him for another 29 years.
Great. And if Sean Payton, and if Sean Payton is still sitting out there next year, McCarthy better win 13 games and get to the NFC Championship game. And that may be unfair to say for him, but I think he sees the writing on the wall too, man. He couldn't have been nicer and more open when he called into the show last spring on that front.
Well, the way it's working now, Rich, last year we lost in the first round. This year we lost. So next year we're going to lose in the in the conference finals. Okay. And then the year after that, we're finally going to get the Super Bowl and lose there. So that's how this is going to work.
I like it.
Positivity.
Last year the Jets were terrible. This year they almost were, you know, mediocre. So that's great.
So next year,
next year will be good and we'll make the playoffs for the first time since 2010. That'll be great.
Or you could win the Super Bowl if you get the right signal Aaron color Rogers. That you don't want.
Aaron Rodgers. Oh, let's go. Wait
a minute. That you don't want.
Wait a minute.
You want him.
Sauce Gardner said something about that, didn't he?
South.
Let's hit that. South. Jets and Aaron Rodgers, okay. They hire Nathaniel Hackett. Aaron loves him. Why wouldn't Aaron love New York? Some great tea houses, right?
Diverse.
Why wouldn't he want to go join the Jets? Why wouldn't he want to just you know, join a completely new team and take them to some place that Favre couldn't?
You don't want it. It's so funny.
I do want it. You of don't. Course I
no,
want
you
it.
No, you don't.
I don't think he wants it.
No, you don't.
Why would he want it?
Because people like challenges?
Yeah.
You just roll your eyes at everything that people want. Like, this guy wants
people
to stay.
Want
you
challenges.
Don't like this. This guy might want to challenge you. Rolling
He's
your eyes at that.
He
like,
already answered the challenge. Can he turn Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs and these guys that he really doesn't have much of a connection to because they're truly, some of them are half his age almost. Can he turn that into a viable threat towards the end of the season? The answer is yes. And the challenge is to turn that into another 13-win team and him an MVP quarterback again in a spot that he knows all about. And they love him and accept him for who he is?
You talking about Dan Quinn or Aaron Rodgers?
I'm talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Okay,
all right, here's Sauce Gardner on the subject of Aaron Rodgers maybe coming into the Jets.
Practicing against Aaron Rodgers, how great of a quarterback did he seem to you, and what was your thoughts on him from the quarterback position?
Man, yeah, he's definitely great. He's definitely elite. He's been doing it before I was born, so... You know, I can't discredit nothing that he do, you know what I mean? Because I've seen him do so many good things. So, you know, he's a great quarterback for sure.
Would you want him on your team? You know, we got to get juicy.
You know, I wouldn't mind that. I want what's best for the offense. But at the same time, I got to just focus on my job and focus on what we got going on the defensive side.
That's on Fitz and Harry on ESPN Radio. We appreciate that.
Sauce.
All right. It's good enough for Sauce. Definitely good enough for me.
That's your guy.
Oh, yeah. Now, that's the culture changer, that guy right there. Quinnen Williams and him. Let's go follow him to freedom. I have no idea if Aaron Rodgers is anywhere remotely in the neighborhood of interested here. But if it's good enough for Sauce, it's good enough for me. Let's take a break. So much to ask Tom Pelissero about.
Yeah.
Is Rodgers possible to go to New York?
Yeah.
What is Sean Payton's deal? Why? What is he looking for? And is TJ's head completely in the sand? That's coming up.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Oh, my gosh. My buddy joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show, a frequent guest host of this program, NFL Media Group's Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up? How are you, Tom?
You guys are having a blast over there.
Come on.
It's good to hear.
This is great. This is great. I mean, we've gone loopy covering ankles, man.
Yeah, we have.
Gone loopy. What's the injury report for this weekend? Anybody that's is Avante Maddox back for it? Any concerns about Lane Johnson? What do you got for me on the injury front for Championship Sunday, Tom?
It seems like Lane Johnson is going to drag his body through this no matter what. I mean, he did not look between plays like himself. He seemed fine when the game was actually going on, but he's playing with a serious injury. Right now, you know, the other ones, I know that Zach Taylor ruled out a couple of his offensive linemen again, Kappa and Jonah Williams for this weekend. That's going to be significant going up against the Chiefs. And you know, maybe the shocking part of this entire deal is the fact that Patrick Mahomes, according to the Chiefs, has fully participated, taken every rep that he normally would in practice despite a high ankle sprain. We know the history with Patrick Mahomes. He has played through a lot of different injuries, including a high ankle in the week one of 2019 that didn't stop him from throwing for 443 yards and four touchdowns a week later against the Raiders. He does some superhuman things, but you know, you just have to wonder, are you getting Mahomes at full tilt, or are you getting something like the Mahomes we saw in the Super Bowl a few years ago where you just knew he was trying to do a lot, and the body wasn't able to answer the bell quite like it normally would.
I don't think people are talking about the Bengals' offensive line against Frank Clark and Karlaftis and Chris Jones enough. So they're going to have, once again, some reparations to do up front. And I you know, that Bills front seven and what he did can bring. Not the Chiefs. The Chiefs have a better front seven. I mean, we've seen that throughout the season. That's pretty big, Tom.
No, absolutely. And the Chiefs are really disruptive. You know, they play that attacking style under Steve Spagnuolo. And I think that, you know, you're certainly going to see them try to exploit those weaknesses. I mean, it's amazing the job the Bengals did last week. I correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think they gave up a sack in that game with several guys who had started zero or one games previously, you know, in the course of the season. You have to give credit. I know that there's been a lot of talk recently about the Bengals coaching staff and the job that guys like Lou Anarumo has done, which has been unbelievable, what he's done with that defense. And, you know, other than being a defensive coach, it's hard to imagine why he's not getting head coaching interviews right now. Brian Callahan, Zach Taylor with that offense. One of the key hires that Zach made, and he has not made that many staff changes. If you go back, he's never changed out his coordinators. He's made very few position coach changes. But one he made a couple of years ago was getting Frank Pollock in as the offensive line coach. And when you watch the job that they're doing with all those different combinations, it's fairly remarkable. And I'm sure that Frank and Zach and Brian will have a plan for how they're going to try to neutralize those guys. But make no mistake, you're right. They are a very disruptive front for that Chiefs team.
Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk coaching fronts. Why Frank Reich? How did he land in Carolina?
It's interesting, Rich, because when the Panthers set out on this, and you could see it just based on their interview slips, they clearly were focused on, can we get the next Sean McVay? Can we get the next Matt LaFleur, the next up-and-coming offensive coach, somebody who's really smart, fix the quarterback, fix the offense, and go from there? And certainly there was a high degree of interest in the Lions offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson. Ben was supposed to be on a plane, I want to say it was last Thursday, at 6 a.m., and he called David Tepper or Scott Fitter, one of those guys, at like 6 o'clock the night before, and called the other teams too and just said, I'm not ready. I'm not going to be able to do it. I got to go back to Detroit. I want to be there. We're building something special. There were some family dynamics to that too. But really that, you know, that was a pivot in the Panthers' plans. Then, you know, they spent time trying to figure out you know, exactly, you know, what they were going to do from that point. They continued doing interviews. They eventually got Kellen Moore in for an interview. And that was the only thing really that, you know, gave them pause at the last second. They really liked Frank Reich. They liked everything he brought to the table. He's based out there. He played quarterback there. He loves that franchise. And, you know, it kind of was one of those situations where it was the right place at the right time. for Frank Reich, who also had strong interest from the Cardinals. And even though Frank doesn't qualify in the young category at this point, he is pretty sharp with offense. He'll have a plan on that side of the ball, and that's something they've been wanting is now they try to once and for all find that franchise quarterback.
What about the spot that he left or was told to leave? Is Jeff Saturday the front runner in Indianapolis? As you know, I've seen reports around. I don't know if any of them are from you, Tom, but what are you hearing about what's happening in Indianapolis there?
Jeff Saturday is a candidate, always has been a candidate for that job. Jim Irsay likes him a lot and wanted to see him get a fair shake through the interview process. I would say, Rich, I would be surprised if Jeff Saturday ends up being the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. They're bringing through some really good coaches this week. Ejiro Evero had an interview yesterday that went for something like 12 or 14 hours. The Broncos defensive coordinator, who's really impressed everybody, all these other teams that he's spoken with through the process. They got Raheem Morris there today. They got Wink Martindale tomorrow, who took the place of Dan Quinn in that slot. And they still might bring back some more candidates, guys like Eric Bieniemy, Brian Callahan, Shane Steichen, who are currently in the playoffs and can't have a second interview until next week. This could easily go into next week. It's the most thorough search being run by anyone. You never say never because, again, Jim Irsay just has a high degree of belief in what Jeff Saturday can be. But do I anticipate Jeff Saturday being the coach? Do I believe that he is the front runner? I would say not as of now.
Tom Pelissero, NFL Network insider here on the Rich Eisen Show. You mentioned Dan Quinn's spot or slot interviewing with the Colts was taken up by Wink Martindale. Why did Dan Quinn tap out of this for a second straight year to go back to Dallas?
I think you had two different situations, Rich. Last year when Dan pulled back, it was after the Broncos had hired Nathaniel Hackett. And I want to say he was might have been in Chicago when they were hiring Matt Eberflus, who was around that same time. And Dan just kind of got to that point where he just didn't want to move forward. This year, he was a strong candidate. I mean, there's a real chance, Rich, that Dan Quinn would have been the coach for the Arizona Cardinals. And if he did not get locked up by the Cardinals by today, there would have been a real chance, I believe, that he would have been the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. So this was not a case where Dan Quinn looked around and realized he wasn't going to get a job. Dan Quinn looked around and realized he probably was going to get a job, and he had to weigh out some of the historical challenges in a place like Arizona and some of the questions about the Colts process, knowing that, you know, they were interviewing a ton of people for the job, and also thinking about what he had back in Dallas. He really loves, and his wife loves, that area. He loves the Cowboys. He wants to be a part of that. I mean, I was told, you know, he went in to see Mike McCarthy yesterday and delivered the news to him, and they, you know, hugged it out, had a big bro hug, and were celebrating it. I mean, they really have a good thing going, and Quinn's, you know, really been a big part of building that culture on the defensive side. Now, Jerry and Steven also have a high degree of closing power that they tend to exert. I'm not aware of any contractual changes for Dan Quinn this time around, but safe to say they make Dan Quinn feel real loved. And when it was, you know, put up against, you know, quite frankly, an Indianapolis job where you don't know who the quarterback is going to be and you don't know exactly what direction that process is going to go. And in Arizona, you got questions about the quarterback there as well, including the fact that Kyler Murray's in all likelihood not going to be ready for the start of next season. It was that in totality, but it really boiled down to, Rich, he loves Dallas. He wants to help finally bring a Super Bowl there, and he'll get another crack at it in 2023.
What about the elephant in the room that Mike McCarthy was kind enough to come on this show and say that that was openly talked about with Dan Quinn and he also with Jerry Jones, and that Quinn and him are totally cool? I totally understand and get and believe, not to say what you say is not believable, that they do hug it out there, that Quinn and McCarthy are fine with each other. McCarthy couldn't be happier that the defensive side of the ball is handled by Dan Quinn. I would be doing cartwheels on that. But the elephant in the room is he's a coach in waiting. I mean, even Jerry said in a DallasCowboys.com article about around 1 year ago at this time, I think it was a Senior Bowl article, where he was quoted as saying coordinators like to stick around because they know that's the path to the ultimate job here. So what about that, Tom?
I thought it was interesting that Mike McCarthy in his press conference yesterday provided just a little bit of a window into the relationship with Jerry Jones, where he mentioned the, you know, Jerry said that he wants me around as long as Tom Landry. You know, McCarthy made a face because, the, you know, 3 years down, 26 to go, Michael being like his mid-80s by that point. So obviously it's not, you know, that's hyperbole. However, there's not, as much as, you know, we talk about it so much in the media, as much as it's talked about so much with the fans, I do not get the sense that it's ever really a topic in the building. And that Jerry is sitting there with his hand over the button saying, if we lose this game, Mike's going to be out. Absolutely. Jerry envisions a future where whenever Mike walks away, listen, Mike's 59. He's not going to do this forever. You know, if you came to that time that Mike walks away or they decide to make a change, then Dan would be the guy that they would want as the coach. But Dan's not sticking around solely for what might happen in a year or 2 years or 3 years. I mean, think about it. He interviewed for jobs this year. If he thought, hey, Jerry's guaranteed me on this date I'm going to be the head coach, he'd leave. He'd just take a job. But, yeah, somewhere down the line, he probably ends up being the head coach if he doesn't get the perfect opportunity elsewhere. Is that going to be this week? Is that going to be in 9 months? You know, it's tough to say, but there's not that discussion within the building, within the leadership about Mike McCarthy's job the way it is every place else.
I've got Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. So much to get to you, get to with you right here. Let's jump in with Denver and Sean Payton. If you can mix the Denver situation in with Sean Payton's, and what happens there, and with Coach Payton. What do you got for me?
So what we know as of Sean Payton as of now, and this is a lot of moving parts here, Rich,
yeah.
Because you know, you're talking about the trade and the contract and other candidates. He interviewed with Carolina. I know that there had been some rumors that David Tepper was going to throw everything at him. I never understood that to be the case. They spent time with Sean Payton. He was not the target of their search. The Cardinals spent time with Sean Payton yesterday. They, of course, lost out on Dan Quinn, so you cannot entirely rule him out there. The Texans is a job that some people close to Payton feel like he would like. I don't, again, never say never. I don't get the sense that he is the frontline candidate right now in the Texans search. And then the Broncos have not operated with any type of urgency regarding Sean Payton, in part because they probably don't believe that they're battling it out with anybody right now for his services. And none of that is to cast any aspersions upon Sean, who's a very good coach, who's won a Super Bowl, had a ton of success, great with offense, all those things. But you've got to remember, you're talking about he wants, based upon all indications, all reports, a sizable amount of money to take a coaching job. And the Saints, as much as Sean has said, well, mid-first-round pick, what teams have heard from Mickey Loomis is we want what John Gruden fetched. We want what Bill Parcells fetched. We want, you know, two first-round picks or something up in that neighborhood. That's a lot. And if you're a team that's got needs, you know, does Sean think that this is all going to line up and it makes sense for him too? So, you know, again, never say never until all these jobs are filled. I will believe, Rich, when the last job is filled, and when nobody makes an aftershock change like last year when Sean stepped down and Bruce Arians stepped down and all hell broke loose in March and April, I will believe that Sean is not coaching the NFL in 2023 only then. But as of right now, there's not movement toward a spot. But, you know, keep an eye on a place like Arizona that just had their plans change.
All right, so D'Amico Ryans lands where, right? We all assume that he's going to get a gig, but I guess we should never assume anything when the NFL coaching searches, but what about him? Where is he a front runner?
I know that he is certainly a frontline candidate for the Texans as well as for the Broncos, the two teams that got to interview him. The Broncos spent time with him a week ago out in California. They really liked him. And the Texans also got a chance to spend time with him as well. Now, remember, those teams cannot they cannot do second interviews until next week. But any time that you have a coach that is in demand by multiple teams, even though they are still playing, it is certainly a possibility that something can get done anytime. And so What I am trying to say to you is I think that there is a realistic chance that D'Amico Ryans has a head coaching job somewhere before the playoffs are over. He is absolutely one of the one of the top candidates for multiple teams. I would lean right now toward Houston. There's a lot of history there. There are family ties for him there, a place he would like to be. There are a lot of resources as well. But keep an eye on this in the coming days and hours and minutes here, Rich.
Last one for you, Tom Pelissero. The Jets hire Nathaniel Hackett as their offensive coordinator. Woody Johnson came out and said a couple of weeks ago that he's willing to spend whatever it takes for a game-changing player. And so those two things add up to 12 in Green Bay for a lot of Jets fans. What's the scoop? Aaron Rodgers to the Jets? Is that in the realm of reality? What do you think?
It's definitely in the realm of reality here because there's different scenarios where Aaron Rodgers, he holds the cards here. He's due $60 million, fully guaranteed. A large chunk of that is a $58 million option bonus that's fully payable by September 30th, I believe. He can, in essence, say, I would like to move on. And the Packers, based upon the conversations they've had, have made, if not in writing, a commitment that if he wants to go someplace else, they will work with him on a trade. They also have obviously made a commitment to Jordan Love. They've developed him. He has gotten on the field and, you know, showed this year, albeit in limited action, I believe it was in Philadelphia where he played well and kind of showed what he can do. The Packers at this point, even though, based on my understanding, they would like Aaron Rodgers to be back, they would like him to be their quarterback, but if he's ready to move on, they are also ready to, you know, examine their options, and they have the next plan ready to go. Meanwhile, Rich, if you notice that I was talking really slowly on the D'Amico Ryans topic a moment ago, it's because I was buying time until Rappaport tweeted what he just did from the two of us here, which is that D'Amico Ryans has emerged as a top candidate for the Texans. He's expected to meet with Houston at some point next week after the game. There's mutual interest, and if all goes well, he could be their next head coach.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the Texans' target, is D'Amico Ryans. The Broncos have also been targeting D'Amico Ryans. This is going to be very interesting heading into next week, but it certainly sounds like everything is lining up for D'Amico Ryans to be the Texans head coach.
Okay, that's terrific, and I appreciate you breaking news here on the show, but Aaron Rodgers to the Jets, really? Would he consider that? I mean, really? Really? Tom?
I thought you'd be entertained that I was reading Ian's text.
No, and Tom, I'm spellbound. Your talent spellbinds me, as you know. But Aaron, this is Rodgers, serious business we're talking about here. Really? Really?
Aaron Rodgers will be open to, if he decides to play.
Right.
That's one thing I can tell you, is that Aaron Rodgers has not told the people that he's close with that he can guarantee anyone that he wants to play. Now, he has 60 million reasons for us to believe that he will play. And if he does, the Nathaniel Hackett factor can't be overstated. It's not a guarantee. Of course, you know, Hackett went to the Broncos last year. Everybody connected those dots. They ended up with Russell Wilson, and Nathaniel Hackett's now the Jets' offensive coordinator. They got Nathaniel because he has a relationship with Robert Saleh. He had play-calling experience. He knows the system that they want to implement and that they already have pieces of in place. And so, you know, there's a lot of reasons that Hackett's headed to New York. But, I mean, this is a guy that Aaron Rodgers was very close with, that when Hackett was up for the Falcons head coaching job a couple of years ago, Rodgers reached out to the Falcons and said, you should hire him as your head coach. So these two have a great deal of affection for one another if it comes to that point. There's several steps here, Rich. But if Aaron Rodgers says, I want to play, and if he decides I want to play someplace else, and if the Packers, as I would expect, work with him on that trade, I would certainly anticipate that the Jets would be one of the teams that would be interested, and that Hackett's presence, among other things, makes it possible that that could be a possibility.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Thank you, Tom. Greatly appreciate you reporting and reading and tweeting and texting and conversing. Well done. Thanks. Greatly appreciate it, Tom.
Thanks for having me, Rich.
Tom Pelissero, right there.
Pleasure, Tom.
Old TP just taking off.
Dude.
Old Pessy. What's your nickname for him, Mike?
Pessy.
Pelly.
No, TP.
Old Pelly.
TP. Pelly.
Old Pelly. Old TP.
Dude.
William Pelly.
Hold on.
Get ready, Rich.
Oh.
I can't go there. I just can't go there yet.
We have a Jets 12 jersey over there.
I know. That's
your name on it.
It's Namath's.
But that's your name. It says Isaac.
I understand it. Joe didn't give it to me like he said he would give it to Roger.
He would, though, because that's your boy.
I can't. We're not going there yet.
Come on, Rich. Allow yourself to believe.
No.
All right?
No.
Why?
No.
It's so fun. Come on, get happy.
This is not the Rich Eisen who was saying it with his chest from last year.
I'm fine.
You're reverting back. I don't want you to revert back, man.
I'm all good.
I want that say it with his chest, Rich.
All right.
The confident guy.
There we got all next week for that. Let's take a break. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. I have got one player who needs to have a huge game, a, if you will, monster game to move on to the Super Bowl. That's next. And your calls. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, you can listen to the NFC and AFC championship games on Westwood One, because every NFL broadcast streams live for free throughout this postseason. Every single game has been on it. This weekend's game, Super Bowl 57, will be on it as well. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app, on westwoodonesports.com, via Westwood One station streams, or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. If you're on hold, please stay on hold. All of our threes for us, us being you, anybody out there watching on the Roku channel for free, anybody listening, anybody just checking us out. Our number three is for you and for us here in studio. What's more likely coming up? I've got my top four Super Bowl matchups that I'd like to see based out of all four options for us. We also have Mike Del Tufo's weather report.
Yeah, Mikey.
It's going to be great. Our number three is going to be awesome, and then we pick the games.
Let's go.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We have a couple of phone lines open. The Monster.com player of the week. Who needs to have a big-time game, if you will, monster game?
Monster.
There's so many people that you can look at. You know, obviously in Kansas City, who was the one? It was Lewis Riddick. Chris Jones has got to dominate the game. He says, if Chris Jones doesn't dominate the game for Kansas City, he's got to wreck the game, then the Bengals are going to win. He said that. Yep. We also, you know, can take a look at secondary help. We can do that. To me, the game is, for the NFC Championship game is Lane Johnson and Nick Bosa. It really is. If Lane Johnson is at his best and when he's at his best, then the Eagles line is invincible. And to use a Philadelphia phrase, and also they can run the ball and they can throw it and protect Hurts, and then hit you in the mouth downhill, and they're gonna really test him out. On the other side, though, for me, and this is where I'm gonna go, this is where I'm gonna eventually land here, is can the Eagles go ahead and put the pressure on Brock Purdy to make him turn into that pumpkin in front of the whole country on Sunday? Will they do that? They can do that for sure, because they have the number one pass defense. So Purdy is going to have issues. Greg Olsen said earlier the speed may get him, that the Dallas Cowboys are a very fast defense that can get after you and also cover, but the Eagles are faster. Perfect example in terms of what that means in terms of the speed of the game. Marshall Faulk tells a story all the time to me about Peyton Manning when Peyton Manning was a rookie and he threw 27 interceptions that rookie year. He said that Peyton Manning would say the same thing to him trotting off the field after the interception, saying, man, I didn't think that guy could get there. Mm-hmm. Meaning the receiver was open when he let it go, and boom, the guy who he didn't think could get there was the interceptor. And then Marshall said he said that a few weeks in a row, and Marshall finally said to him, Peyton, it's the NFL. They can all get there. That's what I mean about the speed of the game. Purdy knows they can all get there, I believe, by this point in time. Doesn't need that somebody to tell him, but does he know how fast this defense is? He won't know until he's there. And Marshall's a Hall of Famer I've worked with, who I listen to. Warren Sapp's another. He says the defense, the front end and the back end, work together. So what helps the number one passing defense is that pass rush. Hassan Reddick is a guy that everybody's talking about. I'm talking about my Michigan man, Brandon Graham. He's my Monster.com player of the week for championship weekend. he's the guy that's going to go after Brock Purdy, I think. And if he can affect the change and he can put on the pressure in the same way as Hassan Reddick, you take a look at his numbers since the Eagles lost their first game. After that Week 10 loss, look at how he's turned on the Jets. He had 18 weeks the first 10 weeks, 19 since. Four tackles for loss first 10 weeks, 8 since. Three sacks through the first 10 weeks, 9 since. Including the postseason. Purdy will become the third rookie to ever face a number one passing defense in the playoffs. The previous two losses, Mac Jones last year got boat raced.
Yep.
Flacco in the 08 AFC Championship game, 0 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. If Purdy is the guy to break that streak, he's going to have to sit in that pocket and find the guys and not get rushed by somebody like Brandon Graham. And Graham can say, I'm changing the game. He is my Monster.com Player of the Week. And this segment sponsored by Monster.com, of course. Monster.com can help you tackle the job search and make your next career move. It's time to get off the sidelines. Go to Monster.com and win the job hunt. That's the Monster.com Player of the Week for Championship Weekend.
Nice.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on this program. I've been told there is footage of Mahomes practicing.
Oh, we can't quit it. We can't quit it.
So just when you think we're out the ankle watch, pull you back in.
All right.
Oh.
Roll them ankles.
That's coming up in hour three as well. Gosh, I'm glad there's a full hour coming up.
Now I got to turn my back on.
Here we are on the Roku channel still. So here's what we got. Let's just talk about how the sausage gets made. I haven't written it all down here.
We got a big third hour.
What's more likely?
Big third hour.
Game picks, weather report. Your sneaky good game.
Sneaky good.
Okay.
Top five.
My top four.
Top four.
My top four Super Bowl matchups. There's only four of them.
Phone calls.
And me just
phone calls.
And me just dropping ad libs all hour.
Well, that's why people tune in.
You know, Rich, can I talk to you about the Dan Quinn thing really quickly?
We only have a minute.
You know, I just kind of put myself in certain situations. You know, you always talk about when you weren't sure if the show was going to carry on once Audience Network left. So, you know, AT&T kind of had us in limbo. I had this opportunity where I had a job interview because we didn't know what was going to go on here. I got offered a social media job for a company, right?
I never knew that.
And I had to, like, weigh into it, like, it was comparable money, but I'd have to work in Burbank. I lived over here.
Sure.
And then I just had to boil it down to the fact that, like, that was going into something new. I didn't know those people. I didn't really know the situation or stay here with you guys who I loved working with, who I loved coming here every day. And for me, it was like, if you're saying there's a chance that this ship can keep running, I'm going to ride it out with you. And that's basically what I did. So I guess maybe I'm looking at the Dan Quinn situation like that. He's in a situation he likes. Ship is running. He's happy.
DJ Jefferson, the Dan Quinn of this program. And we're thrilled because how else would we ever heard of Central Podiatry?